Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Should the next head of the IMF come from a developing country?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as an online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The calls are mounting for a resignation from IMF Chief Dominique Strauss-Kahn. He's in jail in New York after being charged with sexually assaulting a hotel maid over the weekend. Last night, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner said Strauss-Kahn is not in a position to run the IMF. And as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports, some are saying the next IMF leader, who is traditionally a European, should actually come from a developing country.
The jockeying and the horse trading have already begun. The Chinese say now is the moment to recognize the shift in economic power away from the West and to appoint an IMF chief from an emerging economy. Turkish, Mexican, and Egyptian figures have all been mentioned. But the German Chancellor Angela Merkel says the post must remain in European hands, while Europe is the main focus of IMF activity. Veteran IMF watcher Andrew Hilton says the body only needs to appoint someone for the remaining 2 years of Dominique Strauss-Kahn's tenure. He says the French finance minister, Christine Lagarde, is the obvious choice.
She also is an American-trained lawyer who spent most of her career in Chicago, so the Americans love her. She speaks English better than the Brits, so we Brits love her as well. She's a competent, highly plausible candidate who would fill out the rest of his term.
Lagarde could face the objection that she would be the second French politician in a row to be IMF chief. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
This week has been one of the busiest of the year for companies looking to borrow money in the corporate bond market. Yesterday, for example, Johnson & Johnson had its biggest bond sale ever. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us now live with more on this story. Good morning, Mitchell.
Hi, Jeremy.
Well, companies, big companies in this country have been rolling in cash for some time now. Why do they need to borrow money?
Well, three words, low interest rates. Given the Fed's easy monetary policy and banks that are now ready to lend, it just makes sense. I mean, Texas Instruments just sold $3.5 billion in debt. It'll pay under 1% interest on some of those notes. That is just crazy cheap money.
Crazy cheap money, but crazy cheap money has been around for some time. Why this rush to borrow all of a sudden?
Well, right. It's all about expectation, and the expectation is rates will go up. First off, the Federal Reserve is about to finish its $600 billion fiscal stimulus. They've been buying treasury bonds. When that demand goes away, interest rates may rise. Also, inflation is starting to go up, and investors will demand higher interest to cover erosion in the value of bonds. Then there's the U.S. deficit and debt limit, says economist Rob Carnell at ING Group.
The continuing concerns about the treasury bond market, the fiscal sustainability position of the U.S., which is going to be putting an added risk premium onto treasury assets, and that will feed through into the credit market.
So better borrow now at rock bottom rates than wait to do it later in a more uncertain environment.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thanks.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up across Europe and Asia right now, about 1% higher in London this morning. We'll get earnings this morning from Staples. Analysts will be watching to see if the office supply chain has seen a rebound in sales to small businesses. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 68 points to close at 12,479.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, celebrating the success of small businesses throughout Small Business Week. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. And by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Foodies and deli owners will gather tomorrow in San Francisco to discuss the future of the old-school Jewish-style deli. Rising food and labor costs are making it harder for traditional delis to stay afloat. Deb Monroe reports now on how some are trying to adapt.
It's almost lunchtime, and Saul's Deli in Berkeley is getting ready to serve its main attraction, the traditional pastrami sandwich.
The pastrami that we serve comes from a naval brisket.
Saul's co-owner, Peter Levitt, says this cut comes from a special section of beef now in huge demand to make processed meats like hot dogs, and that's doubled the price over the last 10 years. No surprise, a 12-ounce pastrami sandwich now costs $20, a turnoff for many customers.
But there's no way to build a sandwich for $15 with 8, 9, or 10 ounces of meat in it and make a claim that you've used good meat.
5 years ago, Saul's Deli cut its standard pastrami sandwich to 6 ounces for $11.75. Customers who want more pastrami now face a sliding scale. Saul's has gone the way of the airlines, charging extra for more.
About 10% of our customers will add 1, 2, 3, or 4 ounces of meat to that.
But even with the smaller sandwich, Saul's is not recouping the cost of the meat.
People come in for the pastrami, but we absolutely need them to order a latke before, a potato dish. And we need to have soup with a dumpling in it.
Levitt says it's all the other stuff on the menu that makes it possible to stay in business.
Then they need to get a dessert, and they need to wash the whole thing down with a few beers. And then we're all happy.
While Saul's Deli has shrunk its sandwiches across the bay in San Francisco, Y-Sun's Deli has shrunk its menu to about 8 items. Co-owner Leo Beckerman says this keeps inventory costs down.
We're trying to keep our menu small and very much built out of products that we make ourselves. So, for example, we cure and smoke our own meats. We bake our own bread.
Y-Sun's charges $12 for a pastrami with a side and pickles. Retiree Judith Franklin didn't bat an eye.
For a good deli fix, I'm willing to pay.
Some customers, at least, are willing to accept quality over quantity, proving there may be a future for a leaner, meaner pastrami. In San Francisco, this is Deb Monroe for Marketplace.
And finally, from pastrami to pickles, today is the 20th annual pickle-eating contest at the Carnegie Deli in New York. 10 contestants will try to chow down on as many pickles as they can in a 5-minute window. The record currently stands at 3.8 pounds of pickles consumed. But the head of the pickle company that sponsors the contest says it is absolutely nauseating to watch. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Corporate culture can involve a lot of suppressed frustration and forced politeness. But Xerox CEO Ursula Burns wants people to be themselves, even if they're cranky.
I think that the best way to get the best out of people is to not force them to be something other than they naturally are.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Another conversation from the corner office and the rest of the day's business news. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.